You got to take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod.
That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Roll alpha.
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.
You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Sal Capaccio. Brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
Friday opens like this, this song on a Friday, Buffalo Football Friday, hit a little bit different when you win on the previous Monday night or Sunday and you're 4-2 as opposed to, okay, drop two straight, 3-2, really need to get a win, could be 3-3 or after a loss just in general. But here we are today. With the Bills sitting at 4-2 and a chance to go 5-2, looking really good in the standings. Some games that matter around them and the league this weekend that we're going to get into today on a Buffalo Football Friday here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. And our Football Friday, of course, is brought to you by Cellino Law. Car crash? Call Cellino. And by Crosby's Pizza and Subs. Start your game day the Crosby's way. Sal Capaccio here with you on a Buffalo Football Friday. We will have Bills head coach Sean McDermott in this first hour, most likely at around 10:45 a.m., give or take. So just kind of be ready. I always say have your head and ears on a swivel there. You never know if the coach calls a little bit earlier, a little bit later, depending on meetings and how things go there. But right around 10:45 is what I'm told Sean McDermott. His appearance will be happening today. We'll get a look at the injury report. And of course, our Barnes injury report is looking really good right now. Brought to you by the Barnes firm, Car Crash. For help, call 1-800-8-MILLION. Not because of the quantity. That's not looking good. 16 names on the injury report. But the quality. Only one of a DNP did not practice, did not participate. That is Daquan Jones, and he had a vet rest day attached to it. But a little concern that we'll ask Sean McDermott about with Ray Davis. A calf injury yesterday, or a calf listed with a calf injury yesterday and limited in practice. Does that mean he got hurt in practice and had to leave? Is that just something he got treatment on, so they just kind of had to list him? We'll find out a little bit more there. And of course, lots of eyes on Amari Cooper and whether or not he's going to play. It appears as though that is trending that way. But we'll ask the Bills head coach about Amari Cooper, bringing him into the fold, and what it means for the team and the offense and everything else going forward. In the meantime, Titans come to Buffalo. Will Levis and the Titans come to Buffalo. A really great opportunity for the Bills here to get to 5-2. I think the Bills have a serious look at 8-2 if they play the way they should play. And that's always not the case, right? I mean, you get the Titans at home this weekend and they have a good defense. You have at Seattle the next week. You get the Dolphins with maybe Tua at home after that. You go to Indy the week after that. These are winnable games, all of them. And I think the Bills have a serious look at 8-2. If the Bills are 7-3 after the next 4 weeks, I think that's still not bad. You take it. Yeah, you'd love to win every game, but 7-3 is a good record. You'd still have a very firm control of the AFC East. And I think this season right now, I mean, you think about the stark contrast of what this season could have looked like at around 8 o'clock on Monday night compared to what it looks like now, not only after the win, but then bringing in Amari Cooper. Think of the stark difference of how the season could have looked, how maybe even was looking after week three. I'm sorry. After, what would that be? Five, sorry, against the Texans. When they lose that game and lots of injuries and they're piling up in Baltimore and Houston, two losses. Why do we always say week-to-week league? It's not just a week-to-week league when it comes to winning and losing and how you play and matchups and opponents. It literally is week-to-week how you feel as a fan, right? Even on a daily basis. I was thinking about this with the Jets this week, which is the Jets lose Monday to the Bills, and it is just all out. Okay, there they go in New York. Fans are really upset, obviously. Jets lost season and Aaron Rodgers and, oh my God, I can't believe this. And they're 2-4 now. And then literally like 12 hours later, they trade for Davante Adams. And I'm thinking, if you're a Jets fan, it's like, oh my God, you go from the lowest of lows of the loss to we got Davante Adams. Everything's great now. You kind of have to pick yourself up, whether it's justified or not, whether it's actually going to work out or not. It's kind of the same thing with the Bills here in a lot of ways, right? You're feeling good after Monday anyway, after the win. But then Amari Cooper comes along. You think about how Bills fans and how you felt listening right now, how you felt after week number five, losing to the Houston Texans and being 3-2. And oh my gosh, sky is falling. Here come the Jets. You could wind up losing first place in the division to just a week and a day later, 2 days, I guess, after the Amari Cooper trade, after a win and where you are. It's just wild. Week to week is what this league is from a playing on the field standpoint and from an emotional standpoint as far as how your feelings are. It's what it is, man. It's what sports are. Had those feelings last night watching the Yankees. Man, I'll touch on that here on the show a little bit as we go on maybe, but I guess I'll just say now, like, it's historic, right? The game was historic, and I didn't even get to watch. I was at an event. I was following on my phone. Didn't even get to watch what happened in the ninth and tenth innings, but, I mean, I'm thinking, okay, yep, one out away. Here we go. Bam, I see 5-5. I'm like, what is going on? Then I actually got in my car, and I listened to the very end, and actually it was right after the home run to win it, and I turned it on. And I hear Tim Kirkchin on ESPN Radio saying, oh my God, this is like one. He goes, I've covered this league for 40 years. This is maybe the greatest playoff game I've ever watched. So from that standpoint, I'm thinking, all right, historic, great. Too bad it was my team on the wrong end of it. Now the Yankees had a chance to go up 3-0. Now they're 2-1. And if they lose today, tonight to the Guardians, it's 2-2. And you're like, oh my God, what's going to happen? They're going to blow this. But because they're still up 2-1, it's kind of softened the blow and me and, you know, recognizing and how historic of a game it was last night. But you got to get the win tonight, man. And then what happened with the Mets last night? They got blown out, right? What was the final score of the Mets game last night? I think it was like, what was it when I went to bed? 10-2? Something like that? What was the final score last night? I'm going to take a look here. You don't even know, Josh? Come on. Did you have any updates today? You know what the score was last night? Here we go. 10-2, see? There you go. 10-2 last night.
You should have just went with your first guess.
I should have. I know. I'm looking at you and you're like, I don't know. I don't want to say the wrong thing, Sal. 10-2 last night. Dodgers lead the Mets 3-1 in that series. Sabres last night, too. I mean, Paul's going to join us at 11 o'clock because we have to talk about what's going on with this team already. Here we go again. Same old Sabres. Same old, same old. I mean, is that the case? The losses are. But how they're playing, how they're losing, is very, very frustrating. The game against the Penguins the other night, extremely frustrating. And then last night, from everything you said, and again, I wasn't able to watch all of it. I saw off in the corner where I was, I saw a couple, you know, goals and a couple things going on, but I really couldn't watch last night. But after reading online from a lot of you, it just, last night was just not a good night. Did not play well. Goaltending failed them last night too. So last two games, maybe you could look at it that way. So I'm not in a great space with the Yankees, but maybe you are because you don't like them or you're a Guardians fan. Maybe you're not in a great space with the Mets. We aren't with the Sabres, but I think we are with the Bills right now. That being said, there are still questions and concerns with the Buffalo Bills. And I'd like to get into kind of where you are. Get a temperature check from you today on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Sal Capaccio, good to be with you today. Give me a call, 803-0550. Temperature check on the Bills today with you. What are you liking? What are you concerned about? Where are you with them after six games? If I told you back in August to take a look at the schedule for the Buffalo Bills, and we did this, right? And in some capacity, we certainly did this. I know we did it on podcasts, and it's always game day in Buffalo. I'm sure we did it on Show Up in the Bulldog with Jeremy and Joe, whatever it is. We did this when the schedule came out. We did this in August. But if I had said to you in August, all right, folks, here you go. Cardinals at home, at Dolphins on a short turnaround Thursday night game. Jacksonville Jaguars at home on a Monday night, at Baltimore on a Sunday night, at Houston, at the Jets on a Monday night. Will you take 4-2? I think you'd be nuts not to have said yes. Of course, you'd love 5-1. Of course, 6-0, but you'd love 5-1. But 4-2 is not a bad record to get out of that stretch. And now, like I said, I think very winnable games coming up over the next four before you meet Kansas City on November 17th here in Buffalo. And now you add Amari Cooper to the mix. But at the same time, 32nd run defense against on a per-play basis. Kicking issues. Tyler Bass. Still wondering what the offense will look like with Amari Cooper, with passing the ball. Still been a bit of a grind. Can that change? There are still things to be concerned about. This is not, oh my God, the Bills are back. Here they are. They're going to win the one seed. No. But man, they have a look at it, but they still have some question marks. And with that, still a few weeks left to the trade deadline. 803-0550 is the number to call. Temperature check on the Bills today from you. And we're going to start it off with our friend Clover out in Texas. Hi, Clover. You're on the Extra Point Show.
Hey, good morning, Sal. Thanks for taking my call. How are you?
You got it. I'm great. Thank you for calling.
Oh, man. Thanks for having me. Really excited about Amari Cooper. Really appreciate your reporting on him. Can't wait to see what he brings to the table. Heard you on Jeremy and Joe this morning talking about Tyler Bass. Just really sad that, you know, he's struggling. And, you know, they got the new kicker. Joe was saying later that he wasn't exactly having a great year last year. And then I remember when he missed the kick in the playoff game, the Kansas City game, he was getting, like, threats afterwards, which was so horrible. And I saw him on Twitter in the off season with his charity with the cats. I said, okay, I guess he's doing well now. But I was just wondering if all of that, you know, hate was kind of still affecting him somehow. And I was just wondering how you see his mood around the facility, if he seems like he's, you know, back to his old self, or if, you know, maybe some of that's affecting him when he lines up to kick. I don't know. It's just strange because they gave him the contract extension because he was always so solid. And now it just seems like it's really falling apart.
Yeah, I think the first part of your question, Clover, can only be asked by answered by Tyler himself. It would be reckless speculation on my part to say if it's impacting him or not. I don't know. I'm not in his head. Certainly, it's fair to wonder, though, right? Like you are. Everything that happened, everything he went through, you know, how much that still weighs on him. I will also tell you, though, you know, he's a professional athlete, and professional athletes are wired that, you know, you can't get to that spot, and that you have to, as that position specifically, even going back before last year against Kansas City, you know, he's in a spot where he knows, going back to when he was a kid, he's in a spot where he could win or lose a game with a kick. He's in a spot where all the focus is on him. So he understands, Tyler does, I'm comfortable in saying he understands the spotlight that goes with it. We both agree, you and I do, that it's despicable for anybody to send any kind of threat to anyone like for any reason. But come on, over a football game and missing a kick, right? We both agree with that. That being said, Tyler Bass has been very professional about this throughout. He's been very accountable about this throughout, and I'll give you a great example. I don't know if you saw it, but yesterday he actually did an interview with Jonathan Acosta of WGRZ TV2 that Jonathan tweeted out, and it was really good. And Tyler, he asked Tyler about a new kicker coming in. He asked Tyler about, you know, where he is, the struggles that he's had. Tyler was very accountable. Tyler very much said he was very professional about it, and he said it's a results-based business, and I haven't had the results. And he understands that why they would bring in a kicker right now. And I would also say that, you know, in that interview, he said it's maybe just about him going back to the 12-year-old in him and being fun and having fun again and kicking again. And maybe that relates to your point. I'm not sure. I can't answer that first part for you because I'm not Tyler and you can only ask him. But by him saying, hey, it's about having fun and going out there and kicking again, obviously I think what he is indicating is, you know, getting that confidence back and mentally getting his stroke back and feeling like he can kick the ball the way he used to.
Yeah. Yeah, I did see some of that, and I agree. I think he understands the situation, and it does seem like the team is rallying around him, like Brandon Bean saying they're all rooting for him. So that's great. But then, you know, I've only been a fan of the Bills since 99, and I know there was a Super Bowl loss because of a missed kick, and I don't know if a lot of fans are, you know, longtime fans are thinking about that as well. So, because we can't have it come down to that. So, I'm rooting for him. I hope he gets it together. I would be interesting to watch. I heard you guys talking about maybe they activate both kickers this week. So, I don't know. But I appreciate your reporting on that, and I'm really hope it works out for him. Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah, you got it. Thanks a lot, Clover. Thanks for giving a call. I'll say this about, you know, bringing in another kicker, and I've said this since the beginning. Whether it's Lucas Haversick, who they did sign to the practice squad, or someone else, I mean, the people they're bringing in don't have jobs right now as kickers because other teams around the league also haven't felt they were good enough to put on their own roster. So you're bringing in a guy. We can all sit here and say, and what's the platitude people always say, or what's the general kind of just blanket statement? Well, anybody's better than this guy, right? It's not true. And anybody, quote unquote, anybody isn't better than Tyler Bass. He is struggling, and even people who aren't as good of kickers as him, maybe actually more consistent and better than him right now because of the situation he's in and his struggles. But let's just go to Sunday, for example. If it's a tight game, and let's hope it's not against the Tennessee Titans, if it's a tight game in the fourth quarter and the Bills need a 45-yard kick and you see Tyler Bass run out, you're going to be like, oh my God, no, come on, he better make this. You're not going to be that confident. Are you going to be any more confident seeing Lucas Haversick run out? I'm not. Maybe you are. I can't believe you would be. And if he misses that, let's say it's Lucas Haversick, but yeah, I mean you're kind of back to where you were. So the point I'm making is, and I've said this all along, unless you bring in an established kicker through a trade or something else or some other way that you know that he's out there and for some reason doesn't have a job, which I don't know why he wouldn't, I'm not sure that anybody you bring in right now is going to be really any better or at least give you any more confidence from a fan standpoint or a coaching standpoint than Tyler Bass. I am very interested to see what they do. We did mention how they could play the roster gymnastics this weekend. I'm not sure that they would activate two kickers, but if they are healthy, which appears that they're pretty healthy, we'll get that from Sean McDermott in about a half hour, less than that. And then that does open the door more for maybe having that situation. But what are you doing there? Are you actually activating two kickers? And then who's going to kick the field goals? And I don't know how that works. So I'd be surprised. Yeah, but I don't know. Let's go to Ron in Alden. Hi, Ron. You're on the Extra Point Show, Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show.
Hey, Sal. Happy Friday.
You too.
So I've been thinking. I work out here in Northrop Park, so I've been watching the stadium go up a little bit all the time. And yeah. I'm like, wow, I just hit me now. We have barely played at home. And I go, wait, so it's almost the end of October. We've only played two home games. And that seems opposite. And I don't know how the Bills or anyone else, how the teams get to say in the schedule. But I'm like, wow. And then we finally play home. And then we go back out west. It's like the schedule is weird. Like, we have not played home at much. But
I'm looking at it now. It'll be almost a full month since their last home game. September 23rd to October 20th.
Yep, and there's no bye week in there, so we just kept on playing. And we're 4-2, that's pretty good, and all these home games coming up. And so checking the temperature, I'm thinking, literally with a winter coming, but checking it, I'm like, well, we got a lot of home games coming up. We played the hardest teams we had to play on the road. We've won our division games. I mean, you say we have a good look at 8-2, I'd be ecstatic with 7-3 as long as that loss is only to Seattle, because that won't matter as much then, because that's an NFC team, but... my question really to you is, you recall so many few home games early and so many home games late, And I'll hang up and listen to that. But it usually seems like we get all the tailgating done early in the year, and we're kind of getting robbed of that.
Well, right, you have a great weekend, man. I do remember a few years ago, Ron, thanks for the call. I remember a few years ago there was a lot made about the schedule and having a lot of home games on the back end because people are like, wait a minute. And this is when the team wasn't as good. And man, they're going to struggle selling these games. It's in December. They're home. It's going to be cold. They're going to be out of the playoff race. I do remember that. But I do think this year seems a little bit different. You only had two home games through the first 3 weeks, and then it's road. You come back at home. What I like is it appears, and we're going to talk with Patrick Hammer at 11:30 a.m. today. It appears as though we're going to get a nice home October weather game this weekend. I've always said this. I love that stadium and the look on TV or in Orchard Park when the Bills are playing at home and it looks like it's nice out in the foliage. It's just a cool look. So I like that. So the other thing I'll say about home, I do think it will matter maybe to the play, the offense, right? You don't have to go in silent count. You can maybe incorporate a little more motion again. Being at home does matter in those situations. And of course, this week on the road, you have Will Levis, who has been pretty much a disaster turning the ball over, and you put him in a pretty hostile environment, that does bode well for the defense as well. Let's go to Marvin. Hi, Marvin. You're on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show.
Oh, good morning. Good morning.
Morning.
Well, I haven't talked to you in a little bit, but I called in and I was on hold last week, but one of the things I wanted to say, well, there's a number of things that it tickles me that I hear people saying things and calling in that are what I said years ago. But here's one that nobody's ever McDermott's going to be on, and I don't know how, as a coach, you let a guy like Spencer Brown, that not only I don't like his play, I told you he's got cinder block for feet, but the penalties. The game that we should have actually lost against the Jets, we won, thank God. But how do you let a player out of control like that? The guy, every time there's a scrum, there's 79 every time. It's an ongoing problem. To me, that's a head coach that doesn't have control of his players. And it bothers me to see that. And we could have very easily lost it. I mean, more so than not. We were lucky to get out of that game. The other thing that you're asking, I'm so glad we got Amari Cooper. I watched him in college. Outstanding. A class act. We won't have to worry about Amari Cooper coming into the game wearing culottes, you know what I mean? He's going to come in there and he's going to do a good job and work hard. But the last thing, and if you could ask, I wish I could interview McDermott. They must hate Elam. They must really hate him. He played with the elite players in his division in college, the best receivers. We have Division II guys in our back, in our defensive backs. And you got a guy like Elam that has made nothing but plays. There's got to be something going on that they just don't like this guy. And I feel sorry for him because if you put him at safety, he'd do much better than Hamlin. Much better. He is a much better.
He's not a safety. He's not a safety. He's never played it in his career. Marvin, stop. He's not a safety. He's never played it. You have to retrain. You have to retrain. It does make a difference. You have to retrain him. I know you know about football. You can't just throw him out there to duties. He'd have to retrain his whole life.
Sale. They play cover two. Everything is cover two. In the Jets game, they wish they tried to tell DeMar, go back on the Hail Mary. See if you can climb in the back seats on the end zone. I mean, it's ridiculous their defenses they play. So I think he could learn. He's a better athlete, a better tackler, and he's made plays when he was on the field. There's something going on that they don't like this kid, and I feel sorry for him because he's a better athlete than these guys. And you know what? Why not try it? You see, I mean, Hamlin's lost out there. You know, it's a nice story. He came back. Nice story. He's a terrible player. Terrible. He's terrible. You know, he's terrible. He's not a good safety. And I would thought that Bishop was going to be a little bit better, but, you know, that game he was thrown into the fire and he didn't perform well. I always like Rapp, and but yeah, we're lucky to be where we're at, and I hope we continue to win. But ask McDermott some hard questions. Hard questions.
What is it? Give me an example. What's a hard question? Give me an example. Okay. No. Don't give me your opinion and yell at him. What's a hard question?
How do you let a guy? How do you let?
He was at. Wait. Hold on. See, that's it. How do you let a guy? How do you let a guy? Is not a question. That's not the way you phrase a question.
Can you let me finish?
Sure.
Sean McDermott, I'll ask the question.
Okay.
Sean, here my question to you is, How is it that every game there's a scrum, Spencer Brown's in the middle of it, he could cost you a game, his countless penalties, how do you let that happen as head coach? You should fine them. There's fines and things that you
can't. They can't do that. They can't do that. That is wrong. They can't do that as a team. It has to be a league.
That's too bad.
Okay, so you didn't know. That's incorrect on your part. So listen, here's the thing. He was asked about Spencer Brown this week. He was asked this question Wednesday, but he was asked it in a different way, not the way you necessarily want to put it. But he was asked, and his answer was, of course, I love the physical play, but obviously those are the kinds of things that just can't happen. Now my question is, what do you want him to do? Play? Do you want him to play Ryan Vandermark there instead?
You know what? I'd have to say this to you, Sal. In my opinion, he is the reason why Josh Allen has to spread out a lot of times.
I did not ask you that. I just asked you a question. Would you rather have them play Ryan Vandermark over Spencer Brown?
I would not be opposed to.
I got you.
I would not be opposed to it.
I got it.
The thing is, you guys will never, ever call people out on
it. Okay, stop. I don't want to go down. Start, Marvin, stop. You're getting that. Stop. We're not going to do this again.
Okay.
All right.
I know.
All right, buddy. Thanks a lot.
Poo-poo me again.
Okay. No. We're not going to do this again. You said a lot. You said a lot of good things that matter, and I agree with you that Spencer Brown needs to have better control of himself. There's no doubt about it.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you very
much. I'm not going to yell at the head coach about it. What you want me to? But he was asked about.
I don't want you to yell. No.
I know. I got you. All right. Thank you. We're not going to do that again. I love it, man. Marvin's so passionate. But, you know, he gets a little off the beaten path there as we go. We're going to take a timeout here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Sean was asked, and, you know, he was asked about the penalties of Spencer Brown and the control. And he said, I love the physical play, but that can't happen as well. That can't happen, what we saw. There's a lot of things we can get to Sean McDermott, especially the injuries. We're going to do that when we come back. But it's time for a break right now. And we'll be back in a snap, brought to you by Snapdragon Apples, the official apple of the Buffalo.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
This is the secret story of a young Russian oligarch who hacked his way to a $93 million fortune. I'm CNBC senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers. In our new podcast, The Crimes of Putin's Traitor, I'll take you inside a shocking Russian crime targeting the American financial system. Attacks that sources tell me were welcomed by Vladimir Putin's government. Listen to CNBC's The Crimes of Putin's Traitor free on the Odyssey app.
Bills.
Second and 10, look out. And is that going to be a fumble, which is taken by Barton in the air? There's no whistle yet. And Barton, what a night this guy's having. Jaquan McMillan is the guy who hits Rattler as the ball is being released. And for the moment, ruled a touchdown.
The Denver Broncos last night, just all over the New Orleans Saints. Final score last night, Denver 33, New Orleans 10. So the Broncos moved to 4-3 on the season. They're right there in the mix in the AFC. Wild card race. Where are they? Let's see. Do they actually have a spot after last night? Let's see. Denver is in 7th. They took the spot of, I think Indy was there. They were 3-3. So Denver vaults them. They're at 7 now. We'll see. A lot of football to be played. Marvin always count on him for, you know, fun, spirited phone call. And no, he's not wrong about, you know, Spencer Brown controlling himself, but I just don't know, you know, there's got to be a fine line and balance there. And one thing I'll say about one of the penalties he had last week, Eric Wood said on the broadcast, Marvin, and for everybody else, like, he got a guy to the ground, then he kind of jumped on him. And Eric Wood said, you're kind of taught to do that as long as you do it in a certain way, right? And I guess that maybe the ref said he did it in a way that shouldn't have mattered and shouldn't have counted, or shouldn't have done. So he threw a flag on him there. But I do agree it was a little bit out of control last week. And that is something that I'm sure Sean McDermott has to address with his team and will. And I'll ask him about that as well. But, you know, players are also responsible for their actions as well. And you can tell them all you want. And you also have to consider the person who, you know, if you're taken out and put someone else in and you're protecting Josh Allen, there's a lot to be considered. On the other point that he made, how did we get to Kyer Elam should be playing? What? I mean, he's not a, he's not better than Christian Benford or Rasul Douglas for sure. And he's not a safety. I mean, you can hate on and hate the fact that DeMar Hamlin is playing all you want. And by the way, I'm just going to point out something from Monday night. Troy Aikman blamed DeMar Hamlin for a play during the middle of the game that, oh my God, he should have been there. It wasn't his responsibility. It wasn't actually even his fault. And the Hail Mary, there were like four or five guys there, not just him. So I don't know how we got to the thing about Kyer Elam, but it's not personal with Kyer, I can tell you that. I know I've talked to many people around the Bills, including Sean McDermott and other coaches. It's not personal at all with Kyer Elam. So it's not that they don't like him, but he's not at the level of play for whatever reason of, you know, obviously, A, what they anticipated when they drafted him, or B, the guys they have right now. I mean, Christian Benford is playing outstanding. And so is Rasul Douglas. So you're not gonna put him on the field at the expense of them. And he's not a safety. And if you want him to learn safety, it's going to take a long time to retrain, to relearn. Sure, I mean, you could make a couple plays out there, but it's a totally different game, especially when you play, especially when, you know, you say, well, it's all cover two, cover three. Yeah, but there is a difference in playing even in those situations at safety than it is at corner, and your run responsibilities and what you're watching and have to do. But I just don't know how we got there. 803-0550 is the number. But anyway, no, good points, Marvin. I appreciate it and always do here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Sean McDermott coming up at 1045. We'll probably take a quicker break than normal and a little earlier to make sure we have time and space for him to come aboard. So let's get to Jerry and Kenmore right now. Hi, Jerry.
Hey, Sal. You know, I disagree a little bit in that the penalties aren't good, but they're needed at times. You know, that DeMar, back to the DeMarco Hamlin Monday night game, Cincinnati was punching us in the mouth the entire that entire game. There was a play where Teron Johnson got hurt because he got hit when he was on the ground in the head. It's a physical game, and we have always struggled against teams that punch us in the mouth, whether it's Baltimore or Pittsburgh or the Jets or Cincinnati at times. Punch back. And if it means a penalty sometimes, that's fine. You can't just get punched in the mouth and hope that it works out in this league. It doesn't work that way. You can be intimidated. Kincaid finishing his runs the other night, the offensive line being very defensive of everything, I'm not against it. Sure, you don't want the penalties and maybe cut back a little bit, but there's nothing wrong with having swagger out there.
Yeah, and listen, I mean, I do think that I think I also remember a time where Marvin called and called the team soft, and now he's calling and saying you shouldn't get in the mix and have penalties. I mean, yes, there's got to be a fine line. There's got to be a balance there, Jerry. And as you said, it's professional football. I would also tell you, I'll be the first one to both, A, tell you that Spencer Brown was a bit out of control on Monday night, and he needs to control himself. There's no doubt about that. I'm also not going to start benching Spencer Brown because of a couple penalties during a game. He needs to learn to be under control. Number two, I'm not here to defend and tell you how great DeMar Hamlin is. That is not the point. What I'm telling you is, though, that if you're going to make a transition there, it's not Kyer Elam. You hope that Colt Bishop comes along. I don't know why. To me, this is a Mike Edwards point. I don't know why Mike Edwards hasn't been playing. And he can't even seem to get on the field. And that was, to me, so far the miscalculation here at safety more than anything. Now, if they want to go out and do something about the safety position at some point, and I also don't think DeMar Hamlin's killed them at all at the safety position. Again, Troy Aikman made a couple references of plays from the other night. One of them wasn't even his responsibility. If you go back and watch, he just said it on the air, but it wasn't actually correct. But if you're going to make anything at safety, how about even calling up Micah Hyde? I mean, you have him there too. These are things that they're going to have to figure out over the next 3 weeks and before the trade deadline. There's no doubt about it. Let's get to a timeout right now. Sean McDermott, Bills head coach, on the other side on injuries and a look ahead to the Tennessee Titans.
It's
just thinking back a little bit about the Spencer Brown conversation with the caller Marvin a little while ago, and it's Deion Dawkins too on Monday night. I thought kind of, you know, had to be under a little bit more composure, and I wrote about it at WGR550.com. Arrow up, arrow down. So Myron, you're wrong. We do call him out. I do. I'm telling you right now, like, you got to be more composed. And the penalty in between the third and fourth quarters hurt them. The pre-snap penalties are the ones that are non-negotiable. And the Bills will tell you that all the time. Sean McDermott will tell you that all the time. Sometimes, though, an aggressive penalty you can live with, depending on the circumstance, the situation, what happened. And sometimes it really hurts your team, and that just can't happen, right? But that's what the head coach's job isn't just to, oh my God, you had a bad penalty, so I have to start yelling at you and take you out of the game. Head coach's job in any sport, and especially football, is kind of have to walk that line sometimes and understand, you know, it's a physical game. Emotions get high. And if you do take that player out or you bench him or whatever, like what your replacement situation is, and you're trying to protect your quarterback, and there's all these different things. And then there's ways to try and maybe correct that throughout practice, have these conversations. I don't know. I mean, you can't find them, though, from a team standpoint, just so people know. Like, that's a league. You can't just levy your own fines. That's in the CBA. The league does that. Sean McDermott, Bills head coach, going to join us here in just a little while. We'll be waiting on him here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show, and we'll get you his interview today and take a look at the injury report and, of course, where the Bills stand as far as injuries. One of the things I've been saying over the last couple of days, a little bit snarky, yes, but it's true, not a good week for the, oh my God, this team is always injured, fire the training staff crowd. I mean, yes, they had maybe a few more injuries than normal the first few weeks. But there are ebbs and flows to the injury report and to injuries, and you still have to take into perspective of the rest of the league and the fact that it's just professional football and people are going to get hurt, unfortunately. And it does happen. It is really about, when you talk about training staff and what their job is, yes, there's preventative nature. There's preventative things to try and prevent you from having, you know, soft tissue injuries and things. Those are the ones that, okay, but what are we doing? What can we do differently? Are we doing something here that caused it to happen? There's also the recovery time. That's where a training staff comes in and can do a really good job, which is get this person in a better spot to recover sooner, do the right things to not have a re-injury, get them back on the field sooner. All those things get baked into what the training staff does. But man, like, Taron Johnson cracks his forearm in the middle of a football game, that has nothing to do with a training staff. That's called playing football. That's what that is. You know, you could say, like, hey, Ed Oliver, hamstring injury, what went wrong there? No doubt about it. And that's what those are questions you have to ask. But you're also going to have those happen throughout a season. When they start becoming reoccurring and you have more than usual kind of soft tissue injuries like that, then that's when you have to kind of, I think, really, you know, yeah, there you go. Hold on. I was trying to see if we have I'm trying to just catch up here. No Sean McDermott yet, but hopefully we'll get him in a little while here. So we'll stick with you here to the top of the hour, and then we'll have Paul Hamilton a little after 11 a.m. on what happened last night with the Buffalo Sabres. But back to the injury point, just something I've said for a while, and I always say it, and it just hopefully bears, you know, truth today when we hear from the head coach about injuries today going into Sunday. Is anyone going to be ruled out? The one I will definitely ask him is Ray Davis and anything that happened there, because he was not on the injury report on Wednesday with a walkthrough, but he was limited yesterday with a calf injury. So we'll get to that as well with the Buffalo Bills head coach, Sean McDermott. So he is on the Wester hotline right now, and here is Bills head coach Sean McDermott.
Coach Sean McDermott's appearance on WGR is being brought to you by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com. By Kaleida Health, the official healthcare provider of the Buffalo Bills. By Dunn Tire, official tire dealer of the Buffalo Bills. And by Northtown Kia, Western New York's number one Kia dealer. Shop at northtownkia.com.
And Sean McDermott joins me right now on the Wester Hotline. Good Friday morning to you, Coach. I know it was a quick turnaround from Monday night. Congratulations and welcome back to a Friday.
It's good to be back, and good to be back playing in front of our fans this weekend. It's been a while, first for the for the first six on the road, it's great to be back in Orchard Park this weekend.
Yeah, no doubt about that, Coach. Hopefully we'll have some good weather, too. We have Patrick Hammer coming up at 11:30 to fill us in on that, but it looks like it's going to be beautiful weather, fall football game here in Orchard Park. A bunch to get to today. We'll start with injuries as usual, Coach. You have 16 names on the injury report, but only one did not practice yesterday. What can you tell us about how things are looking for Sunday if anybody's going to be declared out for this game?
Yeah, so just update today. Mike Edwards is sick today. We'll see where that goes. Mike Edwards, the defensive back, is sick. And we'll see where that goes over the next couple of days. Ray Davis will be limited today. Don't know if we'll have him for the game. We'll just have to see. Something popped up over the last day here. So
that was the one I was going to ask you about. So he wasn't on the injury report on Wednesday. So something happened yesterday which caused him to be limited. So you'll get through this weekend and see where that goes.
Yeah, it kind of came up a little bit towards the end of the game and then reappeared yesterday during practice. So we'll just have to see where it goes.
Okay, and then Khalil Shakir, I noticed, a full participant the last couple of days. Do you feel good where he is at after missing and then, of course, not being on the field as much on Monday night and limiting him a little bit in the game? You feel good where he is right now?
Yeah, I mean, that was a managed thing, just trying to, you know, when he was out there, make sure, you know, he had everything he could for us. And, he did a great job of pushing through, really not even close to 100% last week. And so that's why that was the way it was. And every week will get better. The high ankle sprains are tough. They take some time. And, again, I applaud him for playing last week and should be better this week.
One more on the injury front. James Cook goes from limited through the walkthrough estimation to a full after missing last week. That seems like that's trending in a really good direction as well, right?
No, it does. Yeah, he had a good day of practice yesterday and looked good.
Okay, Coach. You mentioned Mike Edwards. I'd like to get to him for a second. I know he hasn't been on the field that much this year. I know he had the injury in preseason, and that kind of bled into the regular season. But a lot of fans wondering, you know, why Mike Edwards hasn't been able to get on the field. From your perspective, like, what's happened there with the signing, the injury, and his situation as far as play time?
Well, yeah, I mean, the big picture here is the injury in the spring. He had an injury in the spring, which kept him out most of the spring, and then another injury in training camp, which caused him to miss most of training camp. Mike's a good football player, but there is limited reps in the system. And then on top of that, you know, DeMar has been consistent, and so, you know, we take it 1 week at a time with every position. And, you know, initially the vision was that, you know, we thought maybe Mike would be the starter, quite honestly, when we signed him. And then the injuries have gotten in the way. So it's hard to, you know, to know what exactly he is and for him to know our system as well as we need him to execute. And so with that, he missed all the preseason games. And it's an unfortunate situation all around.
Sean, I know earlier this week you were asked this very same question, but I'm going to try and give it to this audience too. I had a caller earlier ask about Spencer Brown and the penalties and the frustration of seeing that happen and, you know, where, you know, how Sean McDermott handles it. So I'm going to ask you, like, when you see Spencer Brown in the situation he was in, maybe a couple penalties on Monday night, it seemed like there was a lot of jawing back and forth on both sides. It wasn't just him. He does lead your team with 8 penalties, but he's also a player that really helps your team. Like, how do you balance that? What are those conversations like as you kind of during mid-game and throughout the rest of the week trying to balance all of that?
Well, we start early with that process, and I think it's a great question. We start early with that process so players know what's in bounds and what's out of bounds. And it is a physical game, and you need to be a physical team, an aggressive football team. The way we position it is, hey, the ones that are pre-snap, those are discipline. Those are focused penalties. The ones that are post-whistle, same as. And those are the ones that we declare as non-negotiable, absolutely non-negotiable. And, you know, you're going to get an aggressive penalty via a hold once in a while. Don't love them, but we preach technique all the time. And the ones that happen after the ball is snapped and before the whistle, if those are aggressive penalties, those are going to happen from time to time. But those other ones that I already outlined, those are non-negotiable.
And then when it comes to emotional penalties too, right? I mean, you have to balance this is an emotional game, and it's a division rival, and there's things going on out in the field. So I guess that's got to be tough as well because, yeah, you want to go to a certain point. You don't want to go over the point, but it's the line. But it's always tough to kind of have that balance.
It is, but at the end of the day, again, that's why we try to, you know, set very clear expectations early in the year, and it's messaged over and over every day. And at the end of the day, it's about the team. And we had drives last week, some third downs that were third and And we had 11 out of 13, roughly, third downs that were third and six plus. And that's tough to convert those, right? So yeah. Some of that's from being on schedule early in the drive there.
All right, Sean, let's talk about Amari Cooper. What have you learned about Amari Cooper over the last couple of days now that he's been at your facility? And what are the chances of him to actually suit up and play on Sunday?
Yeah, we'll see. Good addition. Happy to have him. And I think Joe's done a good job, and so has Amari and the rest of the staff, teammates included, of welcoming him and getting him integrated here. In fairness to Amari, I would say, you know, he's only been here on a short week. That is, 3 days now? This will be his third practice. Yeah. And we did a walkthrough on Wednesday due to the Monday night game there. So we'll see where it goes. And at the end of the day, we're happy to have him, and we look forward to good things going forward.
Your team signed a kicker to the practice squad. We've talked a lot about Tyler Bass and some of the struggles that he's had. I thought it was very interesting listening to him yesterday. He was very truthful and very honest, and he understood. He said it's a results-based business. He needs to be better. What are those conversations like when those things are happening with a player that, you know, you're very invested in and you have a lot of confidence in, but right now you have to look at other options, it looks like?
Well, we try and do our best, you know, to communicate all the way through the process, and I'm a big believer in, hey, you know, you don't do it off of one mistake. You don't bring somebody in off of one mistake because it leads to guys looking over their shoulders all the time. And that's not the best way to do it. But, you know, he's had, as he has mentioned, his times and challenges this year and some of last. And he's trying to work through it, and it's not easy. But at the end of the day, we need to make some of these kicks, and he knows that. So, again, trying to communicate in a very clear way what's expected and then what we have to do if we're not getting those results.
And then, Coach, of course, the Tennessee Titans this week. Will Levis has a big arm, can make some big plays. He's had some inconsistencies, but I'm sure there's a quarterback you see on film that has all the tools to make plays.
He does, and they're a talented football team. When you look at, you know, the players that they've put together on that defense and adding some again this off season, and then offensively with the receiving core and the running back there. So very talented football team, and we'll have our hands full on Sunday.
All right, Coach, thanks a lot. I know you have a lot to get to today, so we'll do that and look forward to finally being back almost a month since you guys last played in Orchard Park. So a home game for Bills Mafia to come out on Sunday at 1:00. Best of luck to you.
All right, thanks, Sal. Take care. Have a great weekend.
All right, you too. That is head coach Sean McDermott on the Western Hotline. And of course, his appearances, let me grab them for you, are always brought to you by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com, by Dunn Tire, official tire dealer of the Buffalo Bills, and by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. All right, so from what he said, I'm going to guess maybe Ray Davis is going to wind up being questionable on the injury report. That's not official. It's not from him. But he said that something popped up. We'll see how it goes. Mike Edwards, the defensive back, is sick. We'll see where that goes. Everybody else appears good to go for the Buffalo Bills. We're good to go to get onto this break. And then after that, it'll be Paul Hamilton here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show.
This is the secret story of a young Russian oligarch who hacked his way to a $93 million fortune. I'm CNBC senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers. In our new podcast, The Crimes of Putin's Traitor, I'll take you inside a shocking Russian crime targeting the American financial system. Attacks that sources tell me were welcomed by Vladimir Putin's government. Listen to CNBC's The Crimes of Putin's Traitor free on the Odyssey app.